You may be seated. I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where you will find the I Am sayings that we hope to spend the next few weeks during this season of Epiphany, which is all about a new revelation, a new understanding of who God is for us in Christ. And this year I hope to bring some thread to weave all of our sessions together in such a way that we can leave these 7 weeks understanding Christ and who Christ is for us, and who Christ desires us to be for the world, just a little bit better, having understood and embraced, appropriated, and begun to live in the I Am sayings more definitively. Now, the I Am sayings in many ways are a way to identify Jesus. Jesus identifies himself through these I Am sayings, and names are all about self-identification. The easiest names that we have are the names that are given to us. As you heard in the children's sermon, my name is Richard. I am the brave, power, or strong ruler, according to the name my parents gave me, although I don't think they gave it to me because they expected that from me. It's because my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my dad were all named Richard. So I just inherited the name because I have no creative parentage in the past. They just says, just give him the same name we all have. And I was stuck with Richard. So I am Richard, whether I like it or not. That's how people identify me. But there's a little bit more to who I am than strong ruler or brave whatever. And I think sometimes the best ways of identification are self-revelation, where I not only say I am Richard, but I can say something about myself so that I can say, well, I am Richard, but I am bookish. And if you know that I'm bookish, you'll learn more about me than you ever will from that name, Richard. I'm shy, believe it or not. If I don't have anything to say, I'll hide in a corner. I do not like being the center of attention, although my wife and others would convince you otherwise. I really don't. I'm mischievous. Those who know me know that I really am a sly little fox. I'm playful. I am relatively creative. I enjoy the creative process. So all those I ams actually give you more data about me than ever I am Richard. Richard is kind of a placeholder, but I am bookish, I am shy, I'm mischievous. That actually puts some flesh on who I am. And that's what's happening in the I Am sayings that Jesus provides. Because it's being built off of this great revelation that Moses receives. The defining moment of salvation for the people of Israel was the liberation from the oppression and slavery of Egypt. And before that could ever happen, Moses, who spent 40 years in Egypt as a prince, learning and being educated under all the great things that Egypt had to offer, then made some mistakes and had to spend 40 years as a shepherd. And after 80 years, you'd think his life was all but done. But God appears to him in the burning bush and says, you know, I've got a job for you. I'm going to send you to deliver my people, Israel. And Moses, being like most of us, immediately protests and says, hey, I'm not eloquent. I'm not respected. I'm not brave. Heck, I don't even know your name. I know you're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but I don't even have a name. So can you at least give me a name? If you're going to send me to deliver these people, I need to come with some way to grab onto you and speak of you in a coherent way. And that's when God offers the name Yahweh. I am, or I am who I am, or I am that I am, or I will be who I will be. It's a Hebrew form of be. And so God says to Moses, here's my name, I am. To which Moses had to have said, I am what? You know, that doesn't clarify things. That doesn't really help. I am what? And who's on first and what's on second? And I don't know. You really haven't told me much. It's a bit underwhelming. It's a bit confusing. It's a bit archaic. So that I can imagine Moses in frustration saying, God, if you want the people of Israel to know you, you're going to have to do better than this. You're going to have to give us something more than I am that I am. And of course, I am is enough. Because I am is speaking of God's transcendent eternality, that God just is. But there's more that could be offered, and throughout the course of Israel's history, they would encounter aspects of God that they could then say, well, God is faithful, God is just, God is merciful. They could add to that I am of God. But it's not until we come to our New Testament that we begin to hear of ways of understanding God that are very, very tangible and cogent. As Jesus takes that I am saying and builds on it. And that's certainly what he's doing. In John 8:58, Jesus says the amazing thing, truly, truly, before Abraham was, I am. And in saying that, Jesus is drawing us back to John's prologue. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that the great I am, in some way, is manifesting God's self to us in a way that allows us to understand God more clearly and more fully. And Jesus will then build on those I am sayings by giving us seven wonderful statements of who God is for us and for the world, and who God wants us to be for the world, by pointing to some very ordinary objects that will help us understand who God is, what God is like, and what God wishes for the world that we live in. Now, these I am sayings shouldn't be surprising to us, especially after, and you did this with Mike last week, and I was hoping to do this with you last week. I know I use this passage a lot. I could use other passages. Matthew, Jesus is spoken of as Emmanuel, God with us. In Mark, we're told, who is this one who forgives sins without temple, without priesthood? In Luke, all the scriptures point to Jesus. It's not just John that wants to speak of the deity of Jesus. It's all of the Gospels. But John is the one that takes us to the most transcendent and highest place when he speaks of a life and a light and a truth that pre-exists all reality. That before anything was, before anything began to be, there is an eternal life that is burning with love and delight and joy. And that life is shared between the Word and God. And it is through this life that all things were made. And it is this life that seeks to burst out into our world through Jesus. It's not light that comes from the sun. It's not life as we know it from natural birth. It is the divine life, the transcendent, eternal life of God that is bursting through in the Gospel of John, so much so that we begin to see a visage of that light. When the Word becomes flesh, and it's through the flesh of Jesus, through His life, His actions, His words, that the divine life and light and love begins to penetrate into our world. So that as we see Jesus, we see the glory of the I Am, the glory of God, so that finally no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son or God, it depends on how you translate the Greek manuscript, who's in the bosom of the Father, the very heart of God, has opened Him up for us. So that at the end of the day, the main reason I'm a Christian is because I see that in and through Jesus, there is a picture of God that far transcends anything I dare imagine or wonder at. That I receive in and see through His actions, through His words, through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, an eternal life that comes from the beginning, that is charging through this world and bringing us to an appointed end of life and resurrection. So that at the end of the day, when I think of God, I always come back to this saying. I love A.M. Ramsey. God is Christ-like, and in Him is no un-Christ-likeness at all. That if we be Christian, our understanding of God must be in and through the lens of Christ. That we love the I Am, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God who redeems the people of Israel. But we have a fuller sense of who that I Am is in the person of Christ, as God in Christ reveals simple images, yet images that are so profound. Bread, light, a door, a good shepherd, resurrection and life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the vine. All of these are very, very simple images, but when you begin to translate them to God and understand who God in Christ is for us, you begin to realize what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. That as the bread of life, He satisfies. There's so many things that promise satisfaction in our world. So many things that suggest to us, if you have me, you have this, then all of life will be fulfilling. But Jesus says, no, here is the bread that endures forever. It is the manna from heaven. Or when He speaks of the light of the world, we have this promise that God wants to guide us. That there is a light in the darkness, and that we can follow that light and indeed reflect that light to others and be the light of the world. When we read of the grey of the sheep, we get this sense that Jesus wants us to know that we can be protected, that we can be assured of being secure in the embrace of God, for there's no surer hands to rest oneself in than the eternal embrace of God. When we read of the Good Shepherd, we understand that Jesus is saying God cares for us like a shepherd does for sheep, nurturing, caring, protecting, providing. When we read of the resurrection and life, we get that beautiful sense that there's always a second chance. There's eternal hope that abides, because there's never a time when death has the final word, that there is always hope for tomorrow. When we read of the way, truth, and life, we understand that there's a sense that we're speaking of the eternal life that is ever life-giving, that ever points in the right direction, that gives us a sense of abundant life that is really life indeed. And then finally, when we read of the true vine, we understand that God invites us to know the empowering source of God's presence in our lives, of knowing that we are united with God in Christ through the Spirit, and that there's a power to propel us forward that is eternal and everlasting. So once you begin to just even scan some of these I am sayings, you begin to realize this is so much more than just I am, or I am that I am. That so much more is being revealed to us that allows us to have a clearer perspective of who God desires to be for us and who God wants us to be for the world. Because we can't become like the God we love. And if God truly is to us the bread of life that satisfies, then our call is to be people who pass on that bread to others, who seek to feed those who are hungry, that seek to help those who are desperate for satisfaction. If God truly is the light of the world for us, who guides us, then we're also called to be the light of the world and to shine that light. If God truly is the gate of the sheep to protect us, we're called to be the protectors, particularly of the oppressed and the weak and the marginalized and those who don't have a voice. If God calls us and cares for us as a good shepherd, then we also are called to care for those who are in need of nurturing and care. And so on and so forth. Do you see how that works? It really is a matter of not just shaping us, but of shaping us to be the kind of people that reflect this kind of God to the world, and in doing so, are living in such a way that the I ams are informing and shaping our lives. Now the beautiful thing about this I am is it's not just future. It's not I will be, or it's not past, I have been. It's always eternally present. That right now God says to us in Christ, I am the light. I am the bread. I am the shepherd. And knowing that the I am says that to us, we embrace it even more tightly, because we know this is a Lord who's telling us this, who's not dead and rotting in the grave, but one who has risen, who's alive, who where two or three are gathered is present with us, who eternally is and always will be, I am forever. And that I am forever for us is light, life, shepherd, way, resurrection, the vine that empowers. What a greater revelation than we get from Moses, although it's solidly rooted in what Moses is experiencing. Throughout the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at one by one each one of these sayings and hope to apply them as best as we can to our understanding of God in Christ, our understanding of ourselves, and of who we should be for the world. Now, as I close, this is a wonderful prayer from one of the books I read on this, where it's going to invite you to pray the I ams, and I will kind of embellish on the sides ways that we can see how these I ams touch us is in our present condition. So I'll read what's in white, and then I invite you to pray with me the sayings that are yellow and bold. Just as God spoke to Moses, God wants to speak to us. Let us open our hearts to God who wants to be known and who says,
I am who I am.
When life pressures us to care more for things than for God, remember that Jesus said, when we feel puzzled about which choices are right, we can ask for guidance from the one who said,
I am the light of the world.
When we feel vulnerable and lost, when we can find comfort in knowing that we are continuously being sought by the one who said,
I am the shepherd.
When we feel powerless and weary, we can find power offered to us by the one who said, when we wonder who's in and who's out with God, we can find reassurance in the grace embodied in Jesus who welcomed all, saying,
I am with you.
And when we face loss and pain, we can find hope in the one who promised us renewed and abundant life, saying,
I